This episode is supported by Active Skin Repair. Active Skin Repair is a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. I just randomly, Vinny was having a toe skin irritation issue, and he ended up having this like skin that was really irritating him, and it was getting kind of like icky, and you know, like when kids start to get like little scabs and scratches and then they want to pick at it, and it was getting worse. And so Active Skin Repair showed up on my doorstep as a result of the sponsorship, and I got to put it to use immediately. And I got the ointment formula, or the like ointment formulation, and then also the spray, and the spray was perfect. So Vinny does not like ointmenty, creamy, lotiony things on his body, but I was able to get out the spray, literally took it out of the packaging the day it arrived, put it on his toe before he went to bed. And the next morning he was like, "Mom, my toe's all better." It was literally like this super amazing cure that helped his toes so quickly. So you can use Active Skin Repair on a wide range of skin issues, including cuts, scrapes, burns, sunburns, rashes, other types of skin damage. It's totally safe, non-toxic, suitable on all types of skin, even parts of the body where you might have rosacea or eczema or have acne-prone skin. This is also safe for the youngest members of your family up to the oldest. So now you have one simple solution for your family's skin health needs. With over 500,000 happy customers and thousands of five-star reviews and super safe and clean ingredients, Active Skin Repair is something that you want to have on hand for your family. So to get your own Active Skin Repair, go to activeskinrepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and get 20% off your order when you use the code SHAMELESS. That's activeskinrepair.com. Use the code SHAMELESS for 20% off your order. activeskinrepair.com, code SHAMELESS. This is the Shameless Mom Academy, episode 865. Show notes for this episode, including any links mentioned in the episode, can be found by going to shamelessmom.com and clicking on episode 865. Welcome to the Shameless Mom Academy. I'm your host, Sarah Dean. I'm here to give you and other passionate, driven, unapologetic moms stories, tools, resources, and a little bit of humor to help you lead more powerful, positive, and purposeful lives every damn day. So let's dive in. Hello, Shameless Moms. Today we're going to talk about being a leader. And so you're a leader now, and now what? It's been so interesting over the years as I've worked with moms and women in all sorts of different roles, how tentative and hesitant and even all-out resistant moms and women are to calling themselves leaders. But at the same time, especially when you look at motherhood, from the day you became a mom, you were catapulted into a new leadership role with no training and dire consequences if you couldn't rise to the occasion, right? So you suddenly have this baby in your house, and like, no, there's no adequate training for this leadership role. And if you can't perform, this child will not thrive. And so this is a very challenging leadership position. Now, most of us don't recognize that that's what we've done when we've brought a newborn into our lives. We don't recognize like, oh, I'm a leader now. I'm a leader of this baby. But that really is what it is. And when you look back, you can start to see how you had to really dive right into the deep end, into a leadership role, and figure it out. And typically in that scenario, in those early months of newborn land, you stumble and you fumble and you slowly figure things out. And over time, you learn new skills and you learn how to take care of that child, that baby, and you learn to advocate for that child in your care at every turn. You feel protective in a way that you've never felt protective before. And you also know that it's on you to figure it out quickly. And you do that. You did it. You figured it out really quickly. And so when we look at stepping into new leadership roles, I always think that it's really important to recognize where we've been. So you probably have multiple instances where you have done this in your life in many different ways. Maybe it's been when, you know, maybe you were younger and a parent was sick and you had to step up, or maybe you know, your parents split up and you had to step up in your household. Maybe there was a situation in a work environment when you were really young where you had to step up and take on something new and uncomfortable. Maybe that's happening right now. But when we look at across our lives, there's a lot of times when we've been catapulted into a leadership role without any training, without any notice sometimes, and we've had to just figure it out. And once we can realize like we have a track record in that, oh yeah, I've done this multiple times and I can do it again, it actually can feel so much less intimidating when we either get put in a leadership position that we didn't necessarily sign up for, or we do sign up for a leadership role, but still feel very uncomfortable and vulnerable and maybe really unqualified to be there. In the last couple of years, as I've had conversations with women in new leadership roles in corporate spaces and also in as small business owners, I've heard over and over again how hard it is to step into a new leadership role with little or no training. And I hear this a lot from people who, especially in corporate spaces, when there's been so much reorganization in corporations in the last few years, that there's been a lot of promotion into new leadership roles without any training. So all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm leading a team of 3 people or 13 people or 30 people or 300 people, but no one trained me to be a leader. I just have a skill set around being good at a certain job, but not necessarily around being good at managing people. And that can be really overwhelming, disorienting, and exhausting. Same thing if you're a business owner, it can be really overwhelming and confusing when you're figuring out how do I own the thing that I'm good at in the context of leadership. So for example, when I was a personal trainer, I knew I was a really good personal trainer, but I was not at all like, oh, let me be like a super badass entrepreneur. That was really not on my radar. And if anyone had suggested that, I would have early on been like, no, thank you. That's not what I signed up for. So oftentimes we have a skill set that we have really dialed in and that's what we get recognized for. But at a certain point, our level of expertise as it elevates in that skill set positions us to be more in a leadership role. And sometimes we get there and we're like, hold on, wait, like this is exciting, but also I don't know how to lead in this capacity. That can be very unfamiliar. And there's so many things to figure out when you are in that position. So sometimes the things that you're figuring out are pretty inconsequential, but sometimes they are largely consequential. Like if you mess this up, there could be big consequences. And in many instances, you find yourself in situations where people who were your peers at one point are now the people that you have to give hard feedback to. And that can be super uncomfortable. You also might have a sense that all eyes are on you. And you also might have the sense that just maybe there's some people that would be really happy to see you fail. And that makes you feel like, oh gosh, there's no room for mistakes here. And that also, when we feel like there's no room for mistakes, we get a sense as well that we cannot give ourselves any grace because we really have to prove ourselves. And that can feel really overwhelming, if not completely exhausting. I know as I've stepped into leadership roles, especially in my community over the last few years, I've been really excited to give back to my community and share my opinions and ideas because I always have an opinion on everything. I've been excited to make a difference, excited to have a voice, but I've also felt really nervous and uncomfortable and even scared at times because having a voice can feel really scary when you open your mouth for the first time in front of a new audience. And so you feel this sense of, oh my gosh, I have to quickly instill trust and demonstrate integrity in this new role. And how can I solicit support while sharing new ideas and opinions with people who aren't familiar with me in this way or aren't familiar with me in this role? And a lot of these opportunities to lead come really fast and we feel ill-prepared and we question, oh my gosh, am I the right fit for this? Did they pick the right person? Should I have gone for this? And here's the thing, you are totally the right person. You have been here before. You've been on the precipice of something new and big and scary, and you've totally figured it out. And you're totally going to figure it out this time too. So in this episode, I'm going to talk you through why owning the title of leader might feel conflicting to you. We'll talk about 3 key responsibilities in any leadership role, and then I'm going to talk to you about what to do when you find yourself in a leadership role that you don't feel totally prepared for. So hopefully you're going to get done with this, and instead of being like, I'm a leader, now what? You'll be like, I'm a leader, let's go. So you were probably catapulted into a new leadership role sometime in the last few years, for sure when you had a child or multiple children. Anytime you had a new child, like that leadership role just grows and grows, and probably in times in your younger life as well. And so when you find yourself in those moments, in the past, what have you done to prove yourself? And what do you want to do moving forward? And so let's think about what some of these roles might be. So I mentioned motherhood, maybe you're the caretaker of a family member. So this leadership role can get really complicated and layered as we age, because as we age, if we're taking care of our own children, and then sometimes we're also taking care of parents and aging parents, and those family dynamics can get real tricky. If you're a firstborn, that often is like automatically firstborn children often have more responsibility, or I don't know if they take on more responsibility or it just falls on their lap, but there's research to support that the eldest takes on more responsibility or has more responsibility. And so there's like all eyes on you kind of a thing. Or if you're the family member who lives closest to an aging parent, that's another one where all of a sudden you're like, okay, I guess like I'm the decision maker here. And that can feel pretty overwhelming. And then also leadership roles in your community. So whether it's in your church or in your kid's school or the PTA or local politics or your kid's sports or activities, there can be so many different ways that this can show up. And then, of course, professionally in your work, whether this episode is supported by a podcast I want to share with you called Understood Explains. So this show is about navigating ADHD, dyslexia, and other learning and thinking differences, which can be so confusing. And so every season of the show is around a different theme. So there's a season on special education, there's a season on ADHD diagnosis for adults, and the current season is all about IEPs. I love this podcast because the episodes are 10 to 15 minutes long. So if you are short on time or short on focus, you can take this content in super quickly, easily. It's very digestible. And the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert, Juliana Urtube. So Juliana talks all about how to navigate educational plans, IEPs. She talks about the differences between IEPs and 504 plans. She really breaks things down in a really clear and simple way so that you have some of those questions that you might be thinking around, like, does this pertain to my child? Is this something I need to be looking into? Like, where do we go from here? Where do I go if I have questions? Juliana has you covered. She explains so many different things and so many different little pieces and nuance of IEPs and special education and different things on Understood Explains. So I want you to go check it out wherever you're listening to this podcast. You can go listen to Understood Explains. Just go into your podcast app, do a search for Understood Explains, and it will pop right up. Click on it, pick your episode, and get the answers that you've been looking for and the support that you need around different learning differences and differences in school. This episode is supported by Air Doctor. You probably don't know that Americans take in about 20,000 breaths per day and spend an average of 90% of their time indoors. The indoor air that we breathe can be up to 100 times more polluted than outdoor air, according to the EPA. Indoor air pollutants can cause upper respiratory symptoms like sneezing, coughing, congestion, scratchy throat, and even more serious health problems like lung and heart disease. So what's the solution? Introducing Air Doctor, the air purifier that filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. This includes allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. I am so excited that we just got our own Air Doctor for our house, and we will have it all up and running and ready to go in time for all the things that come with spring weather, but also smoke season, which is just around the corner for those of us in the Pacific Northwest. And I know many of you across the country. So here's how you can get your own Air Doctor. First of all, Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus the shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use the promo code SHAMELESS and you'll receive up to $300 off of air purifiers. Exclusive to our podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock in this special offer by going to airdoctorpro, airdoctorpro.com and use the promo code SHAMELESS. That's airdoctorpro.com, code SHAMELESS. You are in a leadership, whether you've been in leadership and moving up in leadership over time, or you're newer in leadership in the workplace, or you are in your own business in a leadership role, running your own business. So there's all these different roles. And oftentimes we're concurrently existing in multiple of these leadership roles at the same time. And so for me in the last few years, it's been like, you know, the president founder of my business, plus being the co-chair of the parent association at my son's school for a couple of years, plus being a mom, plus being the often in most situations, like the household manager, decision maker kind of a person. And then like accidentally taking on other roles. Like last summer, I somehow accidentally ended up like being the head of fundraising for this all-star baseball league. And so all sorts of different things that we sometimes choose and sometimes they find us, like being a fundraiser, which I've never done in my life before. And we have to step into those roles and figure it out. And so I want you to think about where in your life are you a leader by choice or by chance? And what does that mean to you? How do you want to own that? And how do you want to really sit with that so that you can use that for power and not for power to have power over people, but for power in terms of being able to own and honor your skills, gifts, and talents in a way that feels good to you and in a way that's impactful to other people in a positive way. And then also thinking through why you might feel conflicted. And so there's oftentimes when people identify being in leadership roles, it can be a little begrudgingly, especially if it's a role you didn't sign up for. So maybe you didn't ask for this role. I'm thinking, like, as a metaphor, when you are in high school or college and you have to work on a group project and it seems like everyone else in the group is dropping the ball. So you're like, well, I guess I just have to do all the work. And I know there's a whole bunch of you right now who are thinking, I was the person who had to do all the work, because I also was the person who had to do all the work. Like, I was totally the person that was like, well, I guess no one else is going to do it, so I'm just going to do it. And I was like kind of martyry about it, and like, but also resentful, like the resentful martyr, where you're like, I guess I just have to do it, but then I'm also mad that I'm doing it, which is not fun for anyone. So maybe you feel conflicted because you didn't ask for this role that you're sitting in. Or maybe you feel conflicted because you wanted parts of this role, but not the part where you have to be responsible for other people or their experiences or their growth. And I've definitely been in this role where I'm like, oh, I for sure want to like have a voice and have an opinion or demonstrate a certain skill set in a certain leadership role, but I'm not excited to like be in charge of everyone, because that doesn't feel like the best use of my skills or where I'm necessarily the strongest in my leadership. But sometimes you can't have one without the other. Sometimes they're very interwoven or intertangled. Maybe you feel conflicted because you love to lead, but you hate to give feedback or have to be the person that's like telling people yes or no. You don't like to be in that role. You want to just make, you're the peacekeeper, and you're like the person that just wants to make everyone happy. And in this leadership role, you have to sometimes make people not so happy. Maybe you're feeling conflicted because you're now leading people who used to be your peers, and now you have this role above them, and that dynamic can feel really uncomfortable, if not compromising to the relationship that you used to have. And I've had multiple friends who work corporate in corporate roles who, as they've moved up, have been in this role. And I went to a big event last fall where I got to speak to many, many, many leaders in the corporate space. And so many of them were newer leaders who talked about, I am used to being in this group of like 30 peers, and now I have a promotion, and now I'm up above those 30 peers, and I'm having to figure out how to build trust and respect in a different way. And it really shifts the dynamic of those relationships. And they were even saying, and I've had friends say this and clients say this as well, that it really shifts the relationship if you also have a friendship there. And sometimes that can be incredibly challenging. And it's like a redefining of that relationship. And sometimes the friendship doesn't survive that. Or sometimes there's like no turning back once the relationship has had to evolve to honor the new power dynamic. And then maybe you're conflicted in leadership because you like moving up in roles, like you like moving up the ladder, but you don't necessarily know how to hold space for other people. You don't feel like you are someone who's had training in leadership or someone who really knows how to do that in a way that makes you feel good about your skill set around leadership. But you love the moving up part, and which is not a bad thing at all. Oftentimes when we have a lot of ambition, we love moving forward and we love the momentum of moving up and finding more success over and over again. But the learning curve or the growth curve, and especially the internal growth that's required that goes with that, it can be super uncomfortable. And sometimes we're like, oh, like I didn't know I was going to have to learn how to hold space for other people and like be more empathetic at every turn or more compassionate or center other people more at every turn instead of, you know, just thinking about my own agenda. And that can be super tricky. So in your roles, in your leadership roles, what are your responsibilities? So three key responsibilities in leadership. One would be, and this is like in any leadership role, this would be parenting as much as it is like a work thing or community thing. The first is, how will you own your strengths to best serve the people that you are serving? And this is a really interesting one in parenting, because I think that if you are in a position where you have two caregivers in the household, or maybe more than two caregivers, that it's often we divide and conquer, where one caregiver is like, okay, here's what I'm good at. And then the other one's like, here's what I'm good at. And we defer to each other, right? And we like pass the baton back and forth, which can be really great, but you do have to own what you're good at in order to do that. Like to own, I'm the parent who can sit in like the endless conversation complaint, you know, with a kid complaining about something, or the endless like hysteria and processing, like, I'm so upset about this and I just want to talk about it for 2 hours. And then another person might be the parent who's like, I want to go do projects with you. And in our household, my husband is the parent who wants to go do the projects. And I'm so glad that he wants to go do the projects because I don't want to go do the projects. But I will totally sit and talk about feelings forever. And so it's really great to know that like these are the things that we are independently good at, and we're going to honor them by really leveraging those within parenting. And within the, you know, what our kid needs from us. So that responsibility in any leadership role to own your strengths in order to best serve other people. So that with that responsibility comes knowing what your strengths are and being able to like call them out and advocate for your strengths so that you get to you do the things that you're best at in order to be of service to the people that you are serving. The next responsibility is mentorship. And this is the one that we often don't sign up for, that we're like, oh, I didn't really want to do that part. But this part is really important. If you are leading someone, you are by default a mentor. So how will you take that responsibility and make the most of it? How will you create opportunities for those that you are serving to also develop their skills? And that goes back to that, like, having to hold space, and that can be uncomfortable, and it can require a really deep level of self-awareness and patience and self-reflection at times. It also requires really, really seeing other people, which is hard. Like, it requires reflective skills that a lot of us don't have training around, to really see someone and to be able to say, I see that you're working on this, and I see that you're really strong in this, and I see that here's where you could work, here's where we, you know, you could improve on some things so that these other things might work out better for you. And then the third key responsibility is creating a space in your role that's aligned with your values. And so one of the reasons that I took on the role in our community, in our school community, co-chairing the Parent Association, was because I knew the person I was going to be co-chairing with shared many similar values as me. And so I thought, okay, like the two of us together can create a space that will be really inclusive. It'll be really fun. We will have hard conversations. We will have power, like thought-provoking conversations. We will have productive conversations with the community. We're going to get a whole bunch of stuff done. We're going to bring back, so this was like post-COVID, we're going to bring back events and reimagine things. But we're also going to do this in a way where we are thinking a little bit beyond the scope of how things had been done in the past to, you know, level up a little bit in terms of how we can make these experiences really, really special to everyone in the community in ways that just weren't available previously. So that was really exciting. In that role, a really interesting thing happened. I can't remember at what point in the 2-year journey it was, but my co-chair and I were leading a meeting one day, and a parent had a really significant safety concern. And she brought up the safety concern. And oftentimes in these meetings, we would have people from the administration team in the meeting. And this parent brought up this really big safety concern. And at that point, we were near the end of the meeting. People from our administration team had already left for to go attend to other things at school that day. And my co-chair and I we weren't in a position, we didn't have the knowledge or the power to really fully answer this person's question. But she was clearly had this really significant safety concern. And she was sharing why it was really important to her and what the concern was. And she had a lot of detail that she wanted to share. And it went on for a little while. And I, at the time that she asked the question, I was the person who happened to be holding the microphone. And so I just gave her like all the space that she needed to ask her question and, you know, kept saying like, this, obviously this is really important. And I'm so glad that you're bringing this up because obviously, you know, if you have a safety concern, obviously we want to hear about that. And this is something that needs to be honored. And also bringing things up in a meeting like this can be really vulnerable. So thank you so much for being like the person to stand up and say something out loud. And so just holding that space was important in that moment. And I did that and said what I said without really thinking about it. But what was interesting is afterwards, a handful of people came up and they said, wow, that was like, those were really hard questions that parent was asking and you handled it really well. And I remember one specifically, one other woman, she was like, gosh, I wouldn't have known what to say in that situation. She's like, you just seemed like you knew exactly what to say. Part of that is because I've had many opportunities to hold space with for people who have really big, hard concerns. So that's something that I'm used to. But it's also just checking in on my values when someone is standing up and saying that they have discomfort around something. For me, like, it's in my values to say, I see you standing up and saying the uncomfortable thing. And I see that you have this really significant concern that's impacting you and you, potentially your family. And I see this is also a community concern. And so if I can just acknowledge all that stuff and like openly hold space for that, then I don't have to have a solution. And I don't have to know what the next right thing to say is, as much as I can just be in that space with that person for that moment. And that was demonstrating leadership. So when you are in that space of leadership, how do you create a space that's aligned with your values where you're like, I'm going to hold space even if I don't have all the answers? And I didn't have that answers that day. And I did have to say, like, I'm not qualified to answer your questions. And I had to be okay with that. And I've been in situations where people don't say that, where they make something up or they give misinformation or they overstep boundaries. And rather than just honoring and being aligned with their values to say, I don't know, but let me find out, or I don't know, but here's where we can learn more. And in this particular situation, we were able to take questions back to the administrative team. They did a phenomenal job of, you know, answering this parent's question and actually bringing the question to more public light and sharing with the larger community. And it was actually ended up being like this really great thing that happened. But it started with this very uncomfortable moment of like, oh shoot, like, what am I going to say? And other people in the room being like, oh no, like, what's Sarah going to say? You know, it was one of those moments where everyone's kind of like, where's this going to go? And it ended up being really positive at the end of the day. And so when you are in that leadership role, how do you create that space where people can ask questions in a safe way and be heard and seen in those moments? So what do you do when you're in this leadership role that you have discomfort around, or that feels new and maybe you're not ready for, or like you're in it and realizing this is more than I signed up for, or I didn't know I would need to? This episode is supported by AquaTrue. Having clean, safe water is the last thing you want to worry about. But unfortunately, according to extensive research by the Environmental Working Group, 3 out of 4 homes in America have harmful contaminants in their tap water. So that's why you got to check out AquaTrue. AquaTrue purifiers have a 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process, and their countertop purifiers, which is what we have, take no installation or plumbing, and they remove 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters. And they're specifically designed to combat chemicals like PFAS, which can lead to potentially adverse health effects like cancer, endocrine system disruption, and liver toxicity, which is part of what makes AquaTrue so special, unique, and important in terms of how they are able to filter water. They also have water purifiers to fit every type of home. So like the installation-free countertop purifier that we have at our house, to higher capacity under sink options. They even have Wi-Fi connected purifiers and mineral boost options. So I'm so excited about our new AquaTrue. And here's the thing, I swear it's like a gentle reminder to actually drink more water every time you walk into your kitchen. So we are drinking more water now, and also more clean water. So more water that is more clean. It feels like a double win. I'm feeling pretty impressed with us. I feel like sink water, tap water becomes invisible at a certain point. And when I see the purifier on my counter, it's like many time a day reminder to like, keep drinking. So I want you to check out AquaTrue for yourself and for your family. AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and that makes it a great gift as well. Today, my listeners can receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier when you go to AquaTrue.com. That's AquaTru.com, and enter the code Shameless at checkout. That's 20% off any AquaTrue purifier when you go to AquaTrue.com and use the code Shameless, S-H-A-M-E-L-E-S-S. AquaTrue.com, code Shameless.
If you're a parent, I invite you to join us at the Mindful Mama podcast, where it's all about becoming a less irritable, more joyful parent. With sometimes hilarious and always thought-provoking experts and friends, at Mindful Mama, we know that you cannot give what you do not have. And when you have calm and peace within, then you can give it to your children. I'm Hunter Clark Fields, and I can't wait to see you there. Listen in to the Mindful Mama podcast.
Do this at this level. So let me walk through five different things here. So the first thing you can do is let people know that you are in growth mode, that you are learning a lot right now. So this is new. This is different. I've taken on things I haven't taken on before. I might make some mistakes. Something that you can say that it can be so powerful and humanizing to you, but also to the people that you're talking to, is to say, I might make mistakes, but it's also really important that I get this right. So please give me feedback. Please check in with me and let me know if you need something different from me, or let me know if this isn't working for you. Just the part that is acknowledging I might make mistakes and it's important that I get this right gives you builds trust immediately and builds a bridge. It opens up lines of communication, and it also positions you as someone who shows up with some grace and humility so that now you are more approachable, so that someone feels like they can come to you and be like, hey, I know you're trying really hard, but I just wanted to let you know, like, this thing was either wrong, or this thing made me uncomfortable, or this thing, whatever. You've opened up that dialogue so that people, you're not armored up and you're not keeping the people around you armored up because they don't know how to approach you. The second thing that you can do is to learn about leadership in the context in which you've just taken on a new leadership role. And so how do you learn about leadership in the context that you're in is learning about the role, obviously, but also really allowing yourself and giving yourself permission to be on a lifelong leadership journey. And so what I know is that all of us have had to show up and be leaders in different capacities over our lives up to this point. And you're going to continue to have opportunities to grow in leadership. You're going to continue to have opportunities to step up and lead in different ways, or to go find ways to lead in different ways, because that is what you want to be doing. And that can always feel uncomfortable, and you are never going to be like the person who has total mastery around it. And so how do you let leadership be a lifelong journey? No matter what your personality type is, no matter, you know, how much you really want to lean into, like, I want to be a leader and have 300 people following me. Or if it's just like, I just want to be a good parent. I want to be a good community member. And seeing leadership as a lifelong journey, not a destination, where you always have opportunities to responsibly participate in the spaces that you take up in ways that impact and influence other people. Like, that's leadership. Whether or not you have a title of as leader, that you are taking up space in different community environments and different shared experiences where you have the opportunity to impact and have influence. The third thing that you can do is to ask for mentorship. Oh my goodness, this is so important, asking for mentorship or coaching. So when we ask for mentorship or coaching, we are seeking out other people and learning from them. And oftentimes we're doing this, ideally you're doing this with someone where you can say, hey, I would love for you to mentor me. I would love for you to, like, could we meet once a month for 30 minutes or 30, you know, could we meet on lunch, over lunch once a month? There's so much to be learned for engaging in those conversations. It could also be, hey, I want to hire a coach. So I actually, this is, as a lot of people come to me for business coaching and for leadership and executive coaching, a lot of times it's people hiring me to seek out and learn from, to have this objective point of view for someone to guide growth. And so when you seek out that mentor or that coach, whether it's someone who's mentoring you in the workplace or it's a coach that you're hiring outside of that, really creating space for you to have that objective point of view where someone can reflect what they're seeing in you and also guide you with your permission and consent, guide you in a certain way that allows you to make the decisions that you want to make. It's not about someone telling you what to do or someone telling you what the quote unquote right thing is to do, but they're guiding you so that you can see what different options are. And then from there, helping you make informed decisions around what decisions and directions are best for you now in this moment. Sometimes these mentors are people that you've never met. So it might be, you know, Brené Brown or Adam Grant or Tiffany Dufu or Dr. V, who I interviewed a couple months ago now. So these don't have to be people that you know or that you pay or that you have formal working relationships with, although I would absolutely recommend that you have one or two of those. But this can also be people that you're learning from, whether it's through books or podcasts or audiobooks, following them on LinkedIn, those kinds of things where you're just paying attention to what they're doing and noticing, like, oh, I really like the way that they're doing that. I want to do more of that myself. The next thing that you can do is to, in a working environment, know that there's a really big difference between the skills of your job and then also leading well. And so if you are in a role, and going back to my example around personal training, like I was a really great personal trainer, but I didn't know how to like be the leader of a business and build a business and hire people and also build a business that then was going to bring people into big group experiences. Ultimately, I did all those things, but it took a minute for sure, because at first I was like, I know how to like work with clients one-on-one and make them, you know, allow them to get great results, have a great experience, enjoy coming and seeing me, make it so that they want to come back again every time we're done. But like the rest of it, it took a while for all that. And so when we are put into new leadership roles, often we're being put in those roles, or we've put ourselves in those roles because we have a certain skill set or a certain level of expertise around something, but not necessarily expertise around being like the most amazing leader ever, or, you know, being someone who has so many things figured out that we can like teach it to everyone else. And so how can you give yourself grace as you figure that out and recognize, okay, I'm good at this part here, but it might be the leadership part that I still need to work on. Like that's the part that's going to be always in a process of being refined. And then lastly is to ask for training opportunities. The last thing that you can do as you are navigating this and embracing leadership and really challenging yourself to step up in a way that allows you to have positive impact and be influential in the ways that are most meaningful to you is to ask for training opportunities. Seek out the training. I actually have a good friend who just became the first mom in our little league here, our local little league, to be an umpire. And she is going to all the trainings. She's so excited about it. And she is also, she told me last night, she's watching all these YouTube videos on umping. And I was dying. I was like, of course you are. But she's like, I really want to do a good job. And it's so fun to sit next to her at baseball games right now, because when she's not umping, she can talk through all the things that the umps are doing. And she'll be like, oh yeah, they just did that. And that was because of that call. And this is what the call, this is why that call matters. And so she's just eating up the training opportunities because she wants to do a good job. And it's making it really, really fun. Because it builds confidence. Like when you go into those training opportunities to learn how to do better at something, then you do better at it. And that feels really good. Like it's a very cyclical process. And so how can you be seeking out training opportunities, whether they're being provided to you or you have to go find them on your own, because sometimes that's how it is, that then can help you build your knowledge base in order to build your confidence as you step into the role. So you're a leader now. Now what? I hope that this gives you a little bit of confidence, also some knowledge and some direction in terms of what you can do when you decide to embrace the leader that you are. We all have this large capacity for leadership, and most of us really undersell ourselves in terms of what we're capable of. And I don't want to put more on your plate than you want on your plate in this moment, but I also want you to recognize your value in terms of the skills that you have and the opportunity that you have to have impact and to have influence in this world for all the days that you are here. So I hope that this was helpful. I hope that you feel inspired, a little bit lit up, and also maybe a little bit eager to jump into leadership in a new way or with a new mindset. And remember, it's going to be a journey, not a destination, and that I am in this with you always as you figure it out. Thank you for joining me in the Shameless Mom Academy today. It is always a pleasure and a total honor to be in your ear. Please make sure you are subscribed to or following this show on whatever podcast platform you're using. This ensures that you never miss an episode. You can find everything related to the Shameless Mom Academy at shamelessmom.com, and you can inquire about my speaking, consulting, and coaching services, where I help women leaders, small business owners, and organizations build thought leadership and communication confidence over at sarahdean.com. That's Sarah, no H, S-A-R-A-D-E-A-N.com, sarahdean.com. Until next time, know that I appreciate you so, so much, my friend.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play. And we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.